I haven't lost a heart in 37 years. Salary that I'm too embarrassed to mention. And then he sent me a telegram at a slightly higher salary. And I accepted the slightly higher salary, which I'm also embarrassed about. Harry had to go to John D. Millette to get the extra $300. And I don't know how long that took. Could you believe that my opening line here is, I'm a slow talker. maybe not as slow as Harry Williams. But slow. So I've written a few remarks rather than ad-lib. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to you folks. I really do appreciate the chance. For just a few minutes. I want to thank Rick Ludwin sincerely for so much for masterminding this wonderful occasion. Gathering of friends, which is beyond description. I also want Rick, I want to thank Rick for returning to Miami every year for 25 years. Count them, that's a lot. And every year he comes back to speak to students and to tell them about how it is in network broadcasting. Sometimes he talks about Saturday Night Live. I've never been able to say Saturday as quickly as the people at NBC do. Sometimes I'm like, Saturday Live. Bob and Bruce and I get a lot out of the talks, too, as well, you may be sure. There will be an article about Rick, by the way, in the Alumni Magazine in the summer issue. It should be in the mail very soon. I'd like to mention something about Rick's office out in Burbank. Amidst the large pictures of Tonight Show hosts and other people, in a prominent spot is a very small picture frame, and it contains a page of TV Guide listing Studio 14. A reminder of those days and of all of you friends. So thank you, Rick, for many reasons. And thank you all for including Dixie and me in these festivities. So many reminders of the years that we were all younger folks. Not many former professors are able to attend such a gathering of former students, and that's really true. After 37 years, there are not many of my colleagues who can attend something like this, because they're no longer here. I do appreciate it. And I really do feel honored to be here and to be with all of you again. It really means a great deal. For the next few minutes, I'd like to mention some things which have changed since you left Mother Miami. First, you needn't worry about tear gas or killer dogs or martial law at the ROTC building. The ROTC now is in the bowels of Millette Hall, And the building across from Shriver Center, as you may have noticed, is now called Craft Summer. And I think Ray Smith and Tom Collins would agree that's a very nice change, a good contrast. As Mike Emmerich reminded us today, the ROTC cadets no longer march past the radio TV building. I am going to continue with what I was going to say, remembering when Al Manis used to watch the march and pretend it was some sort of a fascist militarist ceremony. Al would salute and shout his encouragement and his approval. Sure. They don't march anymore past the building. I understand that Rick met Al a few weeks ago up in Toledo, and no doubt will have always a good report. I also remember Mike Emmerich at those windows. A lot was said about that this afternoon, I realized. But I remember him calling play-by-play imaginary games.
Yeah.
And,
I remember that.
Of course, now we hear him as the lead announcer on NBC in their hockey broadcasts. And I think that's real progress, Mike, and I congratulate him. Games in your imagination will be better. Oh, my little laugh, that was. One big change in Miami is the addition of the new Goggin Ice Arena. It has two sheets of ice and seating for several thousand. I think you were there today, Jordan. Miami competes with some of the best collegiate hockey programs in the nation. And I'm sure that pleases you, Mike. Also, we have a newer-than-you Jaeger football stadium and complex associated with it. The first day of the football stadium, we were televising, actually, from up high. There was no elevator. We carried all the gear up. The president's box is very near the press box and way up at the top. Distinguished benefactors were invited to sit with President Pearson up in the president's box. Well, we watched them huff and puff, really. We were worried about them going up the many, many steps. And we figured it was a good ploy because it guaranteed that an elevator would soon come. And they did. There's a new baseball field, a new track facility, a new women's softball stadium behind Millett, and under protest, the wrestling program was canceled and removed from Miami to even things out under Title IX. There is even a separate endowed workout facility for the athletes so they don't need to mingle elsewhere. There's a wonderful recreation center for the rest of us. It's very nice, really.
Mayor Bundy Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah, I know. The facility just last week was host to a national synchronized swimming event, a competition from people all over the United States. And it was certainly a very colorful program. Near the rec center is another new addition, which is sort of a white elephant. It's a $16 million empty parking garage. Sort of Georgian. It holds 610 cars. I park there when I go to the rec, and it's always nearly empty. I figure that my spot is $1 million. Academically, we now have a new school of engineering. It's located in a long stretch of buildings. You may have noticed on High Street directly across from Rodebush. They're all kind of strung together by walkways. There's to be no more Western College program. You may know that. Too few students, too costly. I think it was still a women's college when you folks were here. The students attending Western dress intentionally to look like throwbacks to the 60s, 70s. You guys would love it. But it will soon be part of Arts and Science. Any student who wants a car now has one. Tom Collins no longer needs to try to counterfeit parking for that. Given up the life of crime. And he's a leading citizen here in Oxford. He's the president of the very well-regarded Oxford Community Foundation, which is a fine organization which makes Oxford a much better place. And Tom, I'd like to thank you for all you do.
You need a parking pass.
Some dorms are empty because many students live in run-down rental units in town. Maybe some of you did.
How they became run-down.
Landlords have made a killing in buying up old houses and cramming students in at very high rent. But the wave is over that caused that. Many for rent and for sale signs are up all over town, as you may have noticed. New student apartment buildings have been built, which are very attractive. One of them out on Route 27 features a John for every room. Real plus, I think. Adequate facilities are now being built, and very soon sophomores as well as freshmen will be required to live on campus in the dormitories, which will have a great effect on the housing out in the town. A new student center, you may have heard a little bit about, will soon be built. They're going to tear down a block of buildings on Spring Street across from the old library. They'll start at Bonham House and go all the way down Wells Hall, all the way down that block, and probably will knock down the old Radio TV building, too.
Oh my God.
That's not for sure, but that's in a possibility. WMUB-TV died in 1975 when it was given first to a consortium of three universities and then to Dayton Public Television, which now operates Channel 14 as WPTO, and along with Channel 16 in Dayton, they are the self-proclaimed Think TV.
Yes.
Rick Sellers, former stronghold, WXY, and others of you I know who work there too. It's a long story. It's now dead. It no longer is with us. WMUB itself is under a threat to see if it will continue to survive. The committee is studying it and will report to the new president. Well, they were supposed to report May 1st. They have extended it 6 months or so. A key phrase in President Hodges' charge is to delineate the investment that Miami currently provides WMUB and to examine the full range of alternatives to the current financial commitment. And you can read into that what I think is intended. And to learn more, there's a blog at WMUB.org called Directions. I urge you to take a look at it. And Sally Irvin, bless her, has written a beautiful piece on the blog just a few days ago. I enjoyed reading that and printing it out. And you might want to add a line yourself about your feelings about that station, because the committee that is considering all this is weighing every piece of information they get along with the comments. Miami is facing a money shortage, and WMUB may be a casualty. At WMUB, one problem is that federal money from CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, is drying up. Another is that there's no longer a co-curricular mission at WMUB. Students no longer are trained there as part of WMUB's reason for being. I remember when I was talking with President Schreiber about matching funds for higher power, Phil said that he could not justify the expense for higher power were it not for a co-curricular mission at the station. Obviously, that no longer applies. WMUB's reporting structure shifted from the communication department to the news bureau. Also, many feel that Oxford and Butler County community coverage is missing. Further, much of WMUB's NPR programming is duplicated by WVXU down in Cincinnati, the former Xavier University station sold to WGUC, which operates both stations now. Mass communication does not train at WMUB. The curriculum uses the cable TV channel, and some video and audio production is still very well taught. There is WMSR, Miami Student Radio. You may have seen that this afternoon on the tour. Mm-hmm. It's an autonomous station located in the back corner of Williams Hall, and its audio is carried on one of the Time Warner cable channels sometimes. It's pretty much of an electronic sandbox, in my opinion, because it is completely autonomous with no supervision visible. Bob Vogel has done very innovative work in film production, importing a British director a year or so ago to make a film with students, and very fine result. The English department's journalism and mass communication areas are now combined, an alliance that with shared courses, shared curriculum, and Bruce has been very heavily involved in that process. I'm not saying this to imply any criticism of the teaching quality, you understand, at MassCom. I don't mean that at all. But I'm talking about the problems at WMUB, and I think the foremost problem is probably the lack of co-curricular experience. Cleve Gallison, the manager at WMUB, has done a very fine job of raising money. He comes on the air twice a year with goals of over $100,000, and they make those gains. I remember when anything over $1,000 was a good one. Cleve has assembled also a very fine staff at WMUB. We were a witness of John Hingsbergen's work this morning and several of his colleagues up there. But it is definitely not the WMUB you remember at all. And the WMUB TV you remember is nowhere. Well, that's my report.
A very fine report, is all.
There have been a great many more changes, but I think you've heard enough from me. You must know that it is such a pleasure to see you and to be with all of you, each of you. Jim Grover, whom you may remember, has been paralyzed, a victim of MS, for 25 years. He acquired a machine recently that allowed him to stand for the first time in 25 years. This man has the most optimistic attitude you can imagine. He's a joy to talk to. Well, he knew about this reunion, and he phoned to tell me that you folks were such you folks were such an exceptional group of students. He said it was because you had live radio and live television broadcasts.
Absolutely.
Along with your classes. And I certainly agree. Well, thank you all. What a wonderful experience this reunion is for all of us. It's just been wonderful. Such memories, indeed, come to mind. Dixie and I came to Miami University from commercial radio and television in Denver years and years and years ago. We were going to stay for 2 years to see how we liked academic life. And we're still here. And in all those years, after, as I said this afternoon, in all of those years, after several thousand students, your group is by far the most memorable of all, and I really mean that sincerely. It's so good to be with you again.
Thank you.